You are listening to the Mid-Current Church Podcast. For more information and to visit us online, visit us at midcurrentchurch.org and find us on Facebook and Instagram. And now, here is Pastor Sten Carlson with today's message, as we celebrate 8 years of ministry in the St. Croix Valley.
Hey, I gotta be real honest with you today. I'm actually not a huge fan of like big public celebrations and recognitions and that kind of thing. For instance, later this year at the end of the month of December, I'm turning 40 years old. Thank you. My kids tell me I'm old. Everyone else I meet in town, I tell them I'm a pastor. They're like, you're too young to be a pastor. So I don't exactly know what that means. Nonetheless, 40, it does feel like kind of a big deal. And so everyone is asking me, like, what are you going to do? Or they'll start saying, like, what are we going to do? How are we going to celebrate? And I got to be honest, so often I'm thinking to myself, like, I'm not sure we're doing anything. I just like, I don't really need a big thing for me. That's just not the kind of guy I am. It, you know, a lot of times I'm just going like, I don't know. I think it's like another day and it's just kind of like another year as I'm doing what I'm doing, hang out with my wife and kids. And after that, I'm just like, I don't really know. I don't need like a big public announcement of it all. I have the same kind of mentality when it comes to things like, you know, anniversaries and big public announcements when those kind of things come along. And so when our, you know, my wedding anniversary with Erica comes around, I'm never the one to do like the big, like gushy public Facebook announcement. And it's not because I don't have like big gushy words to say about Erica. I do. I mean, it's not because I, you know, don't like celebrating our anniversary. It's such a fun year for us to look back. Every time it comes around, I love it. And it's not because I'm not grateful for Erica. I am actually unexplainably grateful for Erica and for the part that she plays in my life and for the life that we are building together. This is just me. I don't need to broadcast it all online. If I have some sentiments that I want to share with Erica, let's say on our anniversary, here's what's crazy, and this is going to blow your mind. She lives in my house. I mean, I see her face to face every day, so I could just say those things to her when I see her. I don't necessarily need the rest of the world to be in on a conversation that was ultimately just meant for the two of us. Now, let me say, if you do the Facebook posts and big birthday celebrations, that's just fine. I'm not saying you can't do that. I'm just saying I really don't. Up to this point in my life, it hasn't really been my thing. And so that makes today a little bit interesting. Because today, as you have heard, we are celebrating 8 years of Mid-Current Church. And so thank you. And so the question becomes, what do we do? I mean, when I just said, I don't really know if I need to do big public celebrations, the question becomes, what do we do? But how do we celebrate? And if you think about it, it's a fair question. I even have, in my neighborhood, I have a guy who is a part of a church, the different like church planting network with another network of churches. And a few years ago, he told me that the church that he was at, that they, you know, they were celebrating, they said they were turning a few years old on Sunday, but he told me that they weren't really doing much about it. I don't know if he knew how we, you know, did our thing or not. But he told me, he's like, I don't know, I think it's a little bit silly when there's churches out there that are like 150 or even like 200 years old, and I hear some church like, yeah, we're four, you know? It's like, okay, that's a fair point. I mean, that's how I kind of see what he was saying. It's a very fair point. And especially for a guy like me who just acknowledged that, like, I don't know, I'm not really sure. I'm like a big public round of applause kind of guy. And so the question once again is, then what do we do? Like, what do we do when the second Sunday of October rolls around every year? What do we do? Here's my answer to that question. We're going to celebrate every single year that the second Sunday in October rolls around. We're going to do the Facebook posts and the emails highlighting all the good things that are going on. We're going to fire up the band. We're going to blow up the balloons and we're going to line up the baptisms. Every single year, we're not gonna stop. And there's one main reason for it. There's one main reason why we're not gonna stop celebrating this same weekend every year. See, as the spiritual leader of our church, a celebration like this, it gives me the opportunity to make one thing absolutely clear for anyone and everyone who is listening. It gives me the opportunity to make one thing plainly clear as to how it is that we got here today. And it's the very same thing that one of the spiritual leaders of God's people generations ago wanted to make absolutely clear to his people as well. And we're going to read that one thing in the Old Testament book of 1 Samuel. It tells ultimately the story of a time when there was a man named Samuel who was a prophet and leader of God's people in the days just following their arrival into the promised land. Samuel, just a little bit of context here. Samuel is ultimately kind of overseeing a gradual transition of Israel's leadership from like tribal judges to kings and ultimately to a unified kingdom. And it's during this time that God's people, referred to as the nation of Israel, they are in constant conflict with a neighboring group of people known as the Philistines. And so it's constant back and forth fighting for much of this time. And it's in 1 Samuel chapter 7 that we learn the Philistines have yet again prepared themselves to mount an attack on God's people, and God's people are terrified. Look at verse 8. "Don't stop pleading with the Lord our God to save us from the Philistines," they begged Samuel, their leader. And so Samuel calls out to God, and God answers his prayer. It says in verse 10 that just as Samuel was sacrificing the burnt offering, he's making his sacrifices and he's praying his prayers and presenting his offerings, just as he's doing this, the Philistines arrived to attack Israel. "But the Lord spoke with a mighty voice of thunder from heaven that day, and the Philistines were thrown into such confusion that the Israelites defeated them." So they successfully defend themselves. With God's intervention in that moment, they successfully defend themselves, and what they did is they ultimately chased the Philistines away. Crisis averted. Here's what happens next. I love this. Verse 12. It says, "Samuel then took a large stone, and he placed it between the towns of Mizpah and Jeshanah, and he named it," the large stone, he named this place, he named it Ebenezer, which means the stone of help. "For he said," listen to this, everyone here today, "for he said, up to this point, the Lord has helped us." Okay, this is a pretty major moment, milestone in their history as a people. And so here's what happens. Samuel celebrates the moment by building a monument to send a message to all of the people for all of time. And the message is this: up to this point, the Lord has helped us. And friends, I want this milestone today that we're celebrating, I want this milestone today and every year that's still to come, I want it to be marked by the very same message. Every year, each and every single year, I want us to be reminded of the very same thing, that we have made it this far because of a God who has helped us to get there. I want us to be crystal clear that up to this point, throughout the last 8 years, for every good thing that has happened, for every success and for every victory that we celebrate, it's all been possible because the Lord has helped us. And ultimately then, what I want to suggest to you is this, that the best things that we'll do, whether this is in our life or in our church or in our whatever, the best things that we'll do are the things that require God's help. Let me say it again. The best things that we do, they are the things that are going to require God's help. Because here's the truth. We can do a lot of good things and even successful things on our own. God created us in his image to be like him. He created us to be creative and to be capable human beings. And so the reality is we can do good things apart from God. But the greatest things, the greatest accomplishments, the greatest victories that we can ever experience are the ones that are going to require God's help. The greatest adventure that we can ever live and ever experience is the one that we are out there, toes hanging off of the edge, pursuing the things that mean we have to say, "God, if you don't show up, we're toast." Okay? We can do good, we can do fine, good, great, successful things on our own. The best of the things that God has in store for us are the ones that are require God's help. It's going to be the things that we chased after that says, God, if you don't show up here in this moment, I'm not sure we're going to make it. And ultimately, that's been the story of this church from day one. In fact, I want to just tell a few stories that highlight that highlight the idea that it has been God who has helped us each step of the way. One of my favorite stories, and I've told it before, and I'm going to continue to tell it as long as we're still doing our thing, but one of my favorite stories played out actually just 1 month prior to us even holding our first service ever. It was in the month of like September 8 years ago. And we were planning to hold our services at the YMCA Camp St. Croix that was just south of town here in Hudson. It was a really beautiful space that we had located that we had decided, hey, this was going to be the place that we would meet every Sunday morning. Really cool spot. But the one downside is that the only space available to run MC Kids was downstairs in a lower level basement / storage closet, if I'm being honest with you. And here's the other part. There was no, it was downstairs in a lower level, and there was no stairs inside. And so you had to go, you come in, check your kids in at the thing. We had all the stations and all that. So come inside, check your kids in, go back outside, and then you had to go down the hill into MC Kids from a lower level field that was on the side of the building. And here's the kicker. When we first discovered this facility and said, hey, this is going to be the place that we called home, there were no stairs outside either. It was just like a muddy dirt hill with some patches of grass here and there. You've seen, maybe you've been to like the real big churches that have like the slides into their kids' ministry. We had a mud slide. It was like, hey, welcome to Mid-Current. Just sit on your butt and slide on into MC Kids Ministry, right? It was no good. I'm thinking like, man, we're a few weeks away. Like, we're hoping to welcome so many kids and young families into the space. We're going like, man, this is not going to work. And so we said, we have to figure something out. We can't have this muddy, slippery, hill into MC Kids. And so we went to the YMCA and we said, hey, we got to have some stairs here. Is it possible that we would build some stairs? And they said, we'll see. And then we came back a little while later and we said, okay, here's the deal. We'll pay for it. If we could just get some stairs here, I mean, we haven't even met as a church yet, but so I don't know where the money's going to come from, but we'll find it somewhere, right? We will pay for the stairs if we can just get them built in time for this second weekend in October. And they said, maybe. And then I gathered together we had guys from the church that were in the trades. And so we got together a crew of people and we met with their facilities people on site. And we said, hey, look, we'll pay for the project and we'll get guys to do the work. Like we'll come and we'll do the thing right here. And they said, we'll let you know. And so at this point, I'm freaking out. We're just like only a couple weeks away from our very first service trying to convince people like, hey, you can take us seriously. Like come to this new church. And so we're only a few weeks away and I'm like starting to freak out. I have no idea what we're going to do. And so one day I biked over to Camp St. Croix. I had spent a handful of mornings that fall. I would bike over there and I would just do laps. I would bike laps through the parking lot, just praying for the facility, praying for what God was going to be doing. And so I was there one morning doing my normal prayer circles. And I looked over to the side of the building and there was tarps covering the whole ground. And there was like yellow construction tape lining the whole area. And so I biked over there, I hopped off and I went over and I peeked underneath the tarp. And there I saw this very nice concrete and stone slab staircase winding its way down to the exterior door of MC Kids. And I knew nothing. I had been pleading, hey, can you do the stairs? Can we do the stairs? Can we pay for the stairs? We'll build the stairs. I knew nothing of it. They had given me no indication that they were going to be moving forward with this project. They had given me no indication that they were going to take me up on my offer to pay for the thing and to build the thing. And yet there they were, these stairs there just in time for us to do the things that we had been setting out to do. And so before we were even a day old, it was a reminder to me that God was on our side. Those steps for me will forever be an Ebenezer, a message that was sent that said, the Lord has helped us. 2.5 years later, if I was to tell you one more story, we were a young church plant just scraping and clawing to gain any kind of traction that we could. And we had actually just started to gain a little bit of momentum, and that was amazing. We were celebrating some of the movement that had been happening for us. And then this little thing came along. I don't think actually any of you will even remember it, but this thing came along. It was called COVID. Anybody ring a bell? For anybody? Okay, COVID hit and it stopped all the momentum right dead in its tracks that we had just finally got going in our favor. And so I can still remember it, that last Sunday morning we had met, and this was just the time when everybody was kind of like, what is happening? Should we be here? Should we not be here? I don't know. So that was Sunday. And then Monday morning, it just feels like the whole world shut down. And regardless of the plans or the intentions that we had or whether we were planning to or not planning to meet, YMCA Camp St. Croix said, hey, our facility's closed. Dunzo, you guys can't be here any longer. And so most churches at this time, they just said, okay, we'll pivot. Right? I mean, obviously they were bummed, but most churches said, okay, we'll pivot. We'll just shift all our time and all our energy to online church to navigate the weeks ahead. Here was the problem with that. Number one, we didn't have any online, we didn't have any streaming services. We didn't have cameras. We didn't have the video. As a 2.5-year-old church that had to set up at 6 a.m., every piece of equipment that we owned to do everything, we had just, at that point, we just said, we're not going to make the investment of our time and our money into cameras and into the live streaming deal. So we had no ability to even do that. Even if we had that stuff, Camp St. Croix saying, you can't be here. And so we would have had nowhere to even film our services in the first place. And so now we had, literally, this was Monday where everything just, boom, hit the fan and we had to figure out what was happening. So we had 6 days to figure out how to keep this train going. In hindsight, I suppose it wouldn't have been the end of the world if we just had to tell everybody hey, we're gonna miss a week. We got to figure this out. I sit here now going, that wouldn't have been the end of the world. But back then, we're 2.5 years old. My wife and we had put everything that we had into trying to getting this church up off the ground. So at the time, it felt like, well, this is a big deal. I mean, we're just getting people's attention. We want to continue to engage with people and try to make this a place that they want to connect to. And so it felt like a big deal. Now we had 6 days to kind of figure out how we do church online. So we made some phone calls. No, that wasn't going to work. This wasn't going to be a possibility. And finally, with just a few days left to go, my Hail Mary attempt was to send a Facebook message, because that's the only way I had to contact this guy. I sent a Facebook message to a dude that I had met earlier that year. He was a Christian business owner, and he owned an audio visual company in St. Paul, and he had come to the area not long ago just trying to, introduce himself to churches and to see if they could, use any of his services. And we actually never connected. He was like, hey, I tried to come to your church. I'm like, well, we don't have a church, so I'm not sure where you went to try to find me. But we only were Facebook messaging each other, and that's the only way I knew him. And so I thought, in a last ditch effort, I called this guy to say, hey, can you help us? We're trying to do this church online. Can you help us? And he wrote back to me and he said, hey man, I'm really sorry. I've got the Facebook message. He said, hey, I'm really sorry. I can't help you. But he said to me, I do have, this is what he said. He said, I have, and I quote, he said, I have a kingdom-minded friend who YouTubes with his wife. I'm going to be real honest with y'all for a second here today. On a normal day, a kingdom-minded friend who YouTubes with his wife would have weirded me out a little bit. I'd have been like, hey, appreciate you. I think we're going to go in a different direction. On that day, a kingdom-minded friend who YouTubes with his wife sounded like the most glorious opportunity that I could have ever imagined in my entire life. And so I said, I would be so thrilled to meet this kingdom-minded friend who YouTubes with his wife. And that's ultimately what led me to meet JD and Leah. You're going to see their photo from a number of years ago. JD and Leah were actually parents of two little kids. They're older now, but two kids, and they lived, their primary home was on this RV bus. And They traveled around the country. They lived in this bus. They traveled around the country, ultimately using this bus as a tool. Like people would be like, what's the deal with the bus? And they would use it all as an opportunity to start telling people about Jesus. And they would film their life and film their family's adventures, and they would put it up on YouTube. And so I met these two, and I discovered that they were like the most creative and the most talented and the most fun and the most kind and generous people, who ended up filming and editing our services on like 2 days' notice that weekend. And then they filmed and edited our services every single Sunday morning for about the next however many, 3, 4, 5 months that it was, to get us through this season of absolutely unexpected ministry. And then as we came back to Camp St. Croix to finally start meeting in person again, they agreed to come drive out to our facility to help us set up the cameras that we had bought and help us to figure out the way to get the best and the clear shots on those cameras as we started doing church online. And it was another moment for me that had made it abundantly clear that up to this point, the Lord had helped us. And there's plenty more stories to tell like that. I just don't have the time to tell them all. But both of those stories and all the other moments along the way, gang, those are the things. Those are the things that we celebrate. That's why we celebrate, because the Lord has helped us, and that's what we celebrate time and time again. See, my fear is that on a day like today, the tendency, and people mean so well, and all the well wishes are great, but the tendency on a day like this is always to say, like, wow, Sten and Erica, look what you did, or wow, Jonathan and Josh and Carly and Becky, look what you've done, or even seasons ago, you go, wow, Amy, wow, Lexi, wow, Brian, look at what you guys have done, and all those people and so many more. And so many of you have contributed to this place in massive, massive, massive ways and have poured yourselves into this place. But ultimately, today is a day to etch into the history books a message that up to this point, the Lord has helped us. Up to this point, there has been a God on our side who has been helping us at each moment along the way. And this has been the case, gang, for us for the first 8 years. This has been the case. At each new moment along the way, we've realized, God, you have helped us. That's been the case up to this point. And we're going to need it to be the case for every single year that is to come. We're going to need every bit of God's help for the road that lies ahead, if not more so. It's been the case so far, moments time and time again where we go, God has helped us. We're going to need that to be the case for the road ahead. The truth is, friends, it's only getting harder, not easier. It's only getting harder to be a Jesus follower. It's only getting harder to be a church in the world today. And so we're going to need God's help to keep this train going. And so we're going to need God's help to lead the way in a world that is riddled with division and confusion and anxiety and depression. We're going to need God's help to be a light in the darkness. We're going to need God's help, gang, to be an example in the world right now in the midst of if I'm honest, just moral and cultural decay. We're going to need God's help to know how to lead in that environment. I have long been someone who has always said, hey, I don't really think the church, you know, needs to get too, you know, political. And I still believe that to this day. But I'll tell you what, I think what we're seeing more and more right now is not the church getting more political, but politics getting more theological. And I'm not saying, I don't know what I'm saying about that or what we're going to do next. All I'm saying is, you know what? We're going to need God's help to figure out how we continue to move forward in the world. We're going to need God's help to figure out how we move forward being salt and light in the world today. We're going to need God's help, you better believe, to figure out how we embody both truth and grace in the world today. We're going to need God's help to carry the message of Jesus into the world each and every day. If we just talked, you know, buildings and walls for a second here. We're going to need God's help to figure out how we continue to do the things that we feel like we've been called to do here. We're already busting at the seams in this facility. That's just our second location in our short history as a church. And someday we're going to need, you know, we're going to need a home of our own to accommodate the growth, to accommodate the ministry that's happening. And here's the deal. We're going to need God's help to find that next space. We're going to need God's help to know when we actually pull the trigger to move forward. We're going to need God's help to actually build that place when the time comes. And the question is why? I mean, you know, we can do good things on our own. We could just stay here. You know, this is a, we could add, we've got built in kind of, you know, additional years we could add on this lease, and we could just say, hey, let's not rock the boat. Let's just keep things going here and we'll figure it out and we'll add the stuff and we'll just make it work. But I don't think we can do that, because the reality, as I've been saying, is I think the best things that God has in store for us, the best things that we're going to do are going to be the things that require God's help in order for us to do them. Up to this point, that's been the case. And we're praying that God's hand would continue to be our guide for each new year that is to come. And at the very same time, here's the reality, gang. We're going to need your help too. We're going to need your help too, not as the foundation for what God is going to do here. Now, all that's going to be only possible when Christ is our firm foundation. But we're still going to need your support and your partnership to be not the foundation, but to be added fuel to the fire for everything that is going to be, you know, to come around the corner. We're going to need more of you praying passionately and intentionally and regularly and specifically and daily for this church and for our team and for, you know, our leaders here and for the work that God has called us to do and for our impact in the world. We're going to need more of you engaged in the life of this church, in the groups that meet, to get to know one another and to get to know God more. We're going to need more of you engaged with the partnerships. You heard about some with Together for Good, as we literally have the opportunities to be the hands and feet of Jesus in our community. We're going to need more people engaged with our efforts to reach out into this world. We're going to need more and more of you serving here at church, using your God-given gifts to help build the kingdom right here in the St. Croix Valley. We're going to need more and more of you giving back the first portion of what God has given you. Gang, the reality is we're seeing it all the time. We're growing. Our impact in the community and in the world is growing. Our ministry is growing. Our staff is growing. We just actually extended an offer to our next full-time director of MC Kids. And I can't say a lot right now. We're going to share details in the weeks to come. But, the you know, fingers crossed, the gal that we are prepared to bring onto our team is going to be a major asset to our church. And the reality is we're not done yet. Our staff is going to continue to grow in the year to come, which means our budget's going to grow and our calendar is going to grow. And we're going to, you know, keep growing in our efforts to create more and more spaces for real people and a real God to meet. And it's going to take all of us to support the ways that God is moving here. And I believe with your help, and most of all, with God's help, this next year could be the best year ever. If you read my email this past week, the Midcurrent midweek email, if you read it, and if you didn't, don't tell me, that'll make me feel bad. But if you read it, you heard me point to some fun facts about some of the most successful and, you know, kind of fastest growing companies in the world that all turned a major corner at just 8 years old. Facebook began in 2004. And it went public in 2012, just 8 years later. Became most valuable company in the world and transformed the way that we live our life every single day. At just 8 years old, Airbnb was valued at $30 billion and had completely just turned upside down the worldwide travel industry. And Netflix, it started as a little, you know, DVD by mail company in 1997. By 2005, just 8 years later, it made its first profit ever, which paved the way for its dominance in the world of streaming entertainment. And friends, I'm not promising, I'm not predicting that the same is true for us. All I'm saying is that I don't see why 8 years for us can't be the beginning of something more than we could have ever asked, ever dreamed, ever imagined was possible for God to do here in the St. Croix Valley. And it's going to happen if we do it together and if we leave room for God to help along the way. Let me pray for us. God, we are so grateful for all of the moments in time that you have clearly been at work and that you have clearly helped us to keep moving forward toward what it is that you have in store for us. God, we thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you for the way that you are moving in people's hearts and in their lives. We just got a glimpse of it today, God, and we celebrate it, and we thank you for your faithfulness and your goodness to us. And we are praying your incredible blessing on each new year that is to come, each next step. We're praying that you would be leading the way and that we would have the eyes and the ears and the awareness, God, to see you at work, to recognize where your hand is helping us to do what you've called us to do. We thank you, God, and we pray all these things in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's message from Midcurrent Church. For more information and to visit us online, check out midcurrentchurch.org and follow us on Facebook and Instagram. Be sure to join us on Sunday mornings, both online and in person, at 9 and 10:30 a.m. Midcurrent is located at 200 First Street in downtown Hudson, Wisconsin.